Volume 35, Number 10 of the Ensign Magazine for October 2005. Copyright 2005 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. First Presidency Message. A Thousand Threads of Love by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Parenthood is the greatest challenge in the world. In fact, on the subject of parenthood, there are about as many opinions as there are parents. Yet there are few who claim to have all of the answers. I am certainly not one of them. I feel that there are more outstanding young men and women among our people at present than at any other moment in my lifetime. This presupposes that most of these fine young people have come from good homes and have committed caring parents. Even so, the most conscientious parents feel that they may have made some mistakes. One time when I did a thoughtless thing, I remember my own mother exclaiming, "Where did I fail?" The Lord has directed, "Bring up your children in light and truth." To me, there is no more important human effort. Being a father or mother is not only a great challenge, it is a divine calling. It is an effort requiring consecration. President David O. McKay, 1873 to 1970, stated that being parents is the greatest trust that has been given to human beings. A great challenge. While few human challenges are greater than that of being good parents, few opportunities offer great potential for joy. Surely no more important work is to be done in this world than preparing our children to be God-fearing, happy, honorable, and productive. Parents will find no more fulfilling happiness than to have their children honor them and their teachings. It is the glory of parenthood. John testified, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." In my opinion, the teaching, rearing, and training of children requires more intelligence, intuitive understanding, humility, strength, wisdom, spirituality, perseverance, and hard work than any other challenge we might have in life. This is especially so when moral foundations of honor and decency are eroding around us. For us to have successful homes, values must be taught, and there must be rules, there must be standards, there must be absolutes. Many societies give parents very little support in teaching and honoring moral values. A number of cultures are becoming essentially valueless, and many of the younger people in those societies are becoming moral cynics. The best hope. As whole societies have decayed and lost their moral identity, and so many homes are broken, the best hope is to turn greater attention and effort to the teaching of the next generation, our children. In order to do this, we must first reinforce the primary teachers of children. Chief among these are the parents and other family members. The best environment should be in the home. Somehow, some way, we must try harder to make our homes stronger so that they will stand as sanctuaries against the unwholesome, pervasive moral dry rot around us. Harmony, happiness, peace, and love in the home can help give children the required inner strength to cope with life's challenges. Barbara Bush, wife of former United States President George Bush, once said to the graduates of Wellesley College, "Whatever the era, whatever the times, one thing will never change. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. You must read to your children, and you must hug your children, and you must love your children. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but on what happens inside your house." To be a good father and mother requires that the parents defer many of their own needs and desires in favor of the needs of their children. As a consequence of this sacrifice, conscientious parents develop a nobility of character and learn to put into practice the selfless truths taught by the Savior Himself. I have the greatest respect for single parents who struggle and sacrifice, trying against almost superhuman odds to hold the family together. They should be honored and helped in their heroic efforts. But any mother's or father's task is much easier when there are two functioning parents in the home. children often challenge and tax the strength and wisdom of both parents. Years ago, Bishop Stanley Smoot was interviewed by President Spencer W. Kimball, 1895 to 1985. President Kimball asked, "How often do you have family prayer?" Bishop Smoot answered, "We try to have family prayer twice a day, but we average about once." President Kimball responded, "In the past, having family prayer once a day may have been all right, but in the future it will not be enough if we're going to save our families. I wonder if having casual and infrequent family home evening will be enough in the future to fortify our children with sufficient moral strength. In the future, infrequent family scripture study may be inadequate to arm our children with the virtue necessary to withstand the moral decay of the environment in which they will live. Where in the world will the children learn chastity, integrity, honesty, and basic human decency if not at home? These values will, of course, be reinforced at church, but parental teaching is more constant. When parents try to teach their children to avoid danger, it is no answer for parents to say to their children, 'We are experienced and wise in the ways of the world, and we can get closer to the edge of the cliff than you.' Parental hypocrisy can make children cynical and unbelieving of what they are taught in the home. For instance, when parents attend movies they forbid their children to see, parental credibility is diminished. If children are expected to be honest, parents must be honest. If children are expected to be virtuous, parents must be virtuous. If you expect your children to be honorable, you must be honorable. Among the other values, children should be taught a respect for others, beginning with a child's own parents and family, respect for the symbols of faith and the patriotic beliefs of others, respect for law and order, respect for the property of others, respect for authority. Paul reminds us that children should learn first to show piety at home. Appropriate discipline. One of the most difficult parental challenges is to appropriately discipline children. Child rearing is so individualistic. Every child is different and unique. What works with one may not work with another. I do not know who is wise enough to say what discipline is too harsh or what is too lenient, except the parents of the children themselves, who love them most. It is a matter of prayerful discernment for the parents. Certainly, the overarching and undergirding principle is that the discipline of children must be motivated more by love than by punishment. Brigham Young, 1801 to 1877, counseled, "If you are ever called upon to chasten a person, never chasten beyond the balm you have within you to bind up. Direction and discipline are, however, certainly an indispensable part of child rearing. If parents do not discipline their children, then the public will discipline them in a way the parents do not like. Without discipline, children will not respect either the rules of the home or of society. A principal purpose for discipline is to teach obedience." President David O. McKay stated, "Parents who fail to teach obedience to their children, if their homes do not develop obedience, society will demand it and get it. It is therefore better for the home with its kindliness, sympathy, and understanding to train the child in obedience rather than callously to leave him to the brutal and unsympathetic discipline that society will impose if the home has not already fulfilled its obligation." Teaching responsibility. An essential part of teaching children to be disciplined and responsible is to have them learn to work. As we grow up, many of us are like the man who said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." Again, the best teachers of the principle of work are the parents themselves. For me, work became a joy when I first worked alongside my father, grandfather, uncles, and brothers. I am sure that I was often more of an aggravation than a help, but the memories are sweet, and the lessons learned are valuable. Children need to learn responsibility and independence. Are the parents personally taking the time to show and demonstrate and explain so that children can, as Lehi taught, act for themselves and not be acted upon? Luther Burbank, one of the world's greatest horticulturists, said, If we had paid no more attention to our plants than we have to our children, we would now be living in a jungle of weeds. Children are also beneficiaries of moral agency, by which we are all afforded the opportunity to progress, grow, and develop. That agency also permits children to pursue the alternate choices of selfishness, wastefulness, self-indulgence, and self-destruction. Children often express this agency when very young. Let parents who have been conscientious, loving, and concerned, and who have lived the principles of righteousness as best they could, be comforted in knowing that they are good parents, despite the actions of some of their children. The children themselves have a responsibility to listen, to obey, and having been taught, to learn. Parents cannot always answer for all their children's misconduct, because they cannot ensure the children's good behavior. Some few children would tax even Solomon's wisdom and Job's patience. There is often a special challenge for those parents who are affluent or overly indulgent. In a sense, some children in those circumstances hold their parents hostage by withholding their support of parental rules unless the parents acquiesce to the children's demands. Elder Neil A. Maxwell, 1926-2004, of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, said, "Those who do too much for their children will soon find they can do nothing with their children. So many children have been so much done for, they are almost done in. It seems to be human nature that we do not fully appreciate material things we have not ourselves earned. There is a certain irony in the fact that some parents are so anxious for their children to be accepted by and be popular with their peers, yet these same parents fear that their children may be doing the things their peers are doing. Generally, those children who make the decision and have the resolve to abstain from drugs, alcohol, and illicit sex are those who have adopted and internalized the strong values of their homes as lived by their parents. In times of difficult decisions, they are most likely to follow the teachings of their parents rather than the example of their peers or the sophistries of the media, which glamorize alcohol consumption, illicit sex, infidelity, dishonesty, and other vices. Those strong young people are like Helaman's 2,000 young men who had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, God would deliver them from death. And they rehearsed the words of their mother, saying, 'We do not doubt, our mothers knew it.' A firm belief in deity, what seems to help cement parental teachings and values in place in children's lives, is a firm belief in deity. When this belief becomes part of their very souls, they have inner strength. So of all that is important to be taught, what should parents teach? The Scriptures tell us that parents are to teach their children faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost, as well as the doctrine of repentance. These truths must be taught in the home. They cannot be taught in the public schools, nor will they be fostered by the government or by society. Of course, church programs can help, but the most effective teaching takes place in the home. Parental teaching moments need not be big or dramatic or powerful. We learn this from the Master Teacher. Commenting on the Savior, one writer said, "The completed beauty of Christ's life is only the added beauty of little inconspicuous acts of beauty, talking with a woman at the well, showing the young ruler the stealthy ambition laid away in his heart that kept him out of the kingdom of heaven, teaching a little knot of followers how to pray, kindling a fire and broiling fish, that his disciples might have a breakfast waiting for them when they came ashore from a night of fishing, cold, tired, and discouraged. All of these things, you see, let us in so easily into the real quality and tone of Christ's interests, so specific, so narrowed down, so enlisted in what is small, so engrossed with what is minute. And so it is with being parents. The little things are the big things sewn into the family tapestry by a thousand threads of love, faith, discipline, sacrifice, patience, and work. There are some great spiritual promises that parents may have visited upon them. These are the same divine promises made to their valiant forebears who nobly kept their covenants. Covenants remembered by parents will be remembered by God. The children may thus become the beneficiaries and inheritors of these great covenants and promises. This is because they are the children of the covenant. God bless the struggling, sacrificing, honorable parents of this world. May He especially honor the covenants kept by faithful parents among our people and watch over these children of the covenant. Ideas for home teachers. After prayerfully studying this message, share it using a method that encourages the participation of those you teach. A few examples follow. 1. Tell family members that a sanctuary is a place of protection from danger or distress. Invite each person to draw a picture of what he or she thinks a sanctuary looks like. Ask them to explain what they drew and why it is a sanctuary. Read aloud the first paragraph after the heading, The Best Hope. How can our homes be a sanctuary? 2. Read aloud the first sentence of this message. Then share what President Faust said are some of the challenges of parenthood. Ask family members to share ideas of how parents can meet these challenges. What advice from President Faust could the family implement in the coming months? 3. Reading together the sections Teaching Responsibility and A Firm Belief in Deity, make a list of what President Faust said children need to learn. Select one or two of these topics to discuss. You may want to include some pictures in the discussion. Bear testimony of the blessings of teaching and learning the gospel in the home. End of the First Presidency Message, A Thousand Threads of Love, by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency.